Have you ever noticed how your best performance often comes when you stop trying so hard? The pianist who dazzles audiences only after forgetting they're on stage. The athlete who breaks records when they stop obsessing over technique. The conversation that flows effortlessly once you stop worrying about what to say next. These moments reveal an ancient paradox. Our most effective actions often emerge when we abandon conscious effort. This tension between trying and not trying sits at the heart of human experience, frustrating us in everything from creative pursuits to dating to falling asleep. The Chinese call this state of effortless action Wu Wei, pronounced Wu Wei, and for over 2,000 years, philosophers have wrestled with a fundamental question: how can we achieve spontaneity through effort? Wu Wei represents a state where action becomes perfectly effective yet completely effortless, where conscious thriving dissolves while performance peaks. Modern neuroscience helps explain why. Brain scans of jazz musicians improvising show their lateral prefrontal cortex, responsible for self-monitoring, becomes less active while regions handling automatic processes light up. This creates a neural state where trained expertise flows without interference from overthinking. Consider the ancient Chinese story of Butcher Ding, whose knife remained sharp for 19 years because he instinctively found the spaces between joints, moving with such fluid precision that observers stood transfixed. After decades of practice, he explained, "I no longer see the ox with my eyes, but encounter it with my spirit." The Chinese concept of De represents the outward manifestation of inner harmony, complementing Wu Wei. De creates a magnetic charisma that draws others naturally. We instinctively trust those in Wu Wei because spontaneous behavior is hard to fake, just as we quickly detect forced smiles or memorized presentations. This attraction stems from evolutionary mechanisms developed to detect sincerity for successful cooperation. De illuminates common paradoxes: why trying to be attractive often backfires, why forced leadership creates resistance, and why the most charismatic people seem least conscious of their impact. The ancient Chinese compared it to an empty boat that doesn't provoke anger when it collides with yours, unlike one with a helmsman who should know better. The person with De moves through life without arousing animosity, as natural as flowing water. This principle remains powerful today, visible in business leaders who inspire through mission rather than image, and performers who captivate when they forget the audience. The core paradox? De emerges only when not consciously pursued. It flows from authentic self-cultivation rather than calculation. Early Chinese philosophers, particularly Confucians, viewed self-cultivation as a craft, like shaping raw material into refined art. Confucius emphasized proper deportment as crucial to character development, once rebuking Yuan Rang with his staff for casual lounging, showing how seriously he took this principle. The Confucian approach focuses on domestication rather than restraint, training impulses to align naturally with proper conduct. Unlike Plato's constantly vigilant charioteer, this method aims to embed conscious goals into unconscious behavior. This mirrors how we master complex skills like driving or music. Initial conscious effort gives way to automatic execution, with brain scans showing decreased activity as mastery develops. Through study, ritual, and cultural immersion, Confucian learning transforms one's entire being, from mind to four limbs. The ideal sage can follow desires freely while naturally adhering to civilized norms. Yet this path faces a core challenge: how to consciously cultivate spontaneity without becoming a village poser who merely performs rituals mechanically. True cultivation must transform both external behavior and internal character to achieve authentic virtue. Laozi's philosophy stands in opposition to Confucius, advocating for a return to an uncarved, natural state rather than cultural refinement. He uses the metaphor of the belly versus the eye, the belly representing basic needs, while the eye constantly seeks what we lack. for lousy, social labels of beautiful or good corrupt natural judgment. When everyone knows that the beautiful is beautiful, it is then ugly. Modern research on verbal overshadowing validates this view, showing that analyzing and verbalizing preferences can impair judgment. Laozi identified two main obstacles to Wu Wei: the negative impact of overthinking on direct experience and our endless desires. The Laozi promotes undoing rather than doing, advocating the shedding of learned knowledge and artificial wants to achieve perfect non-doing and unself-consciousness. This return to naturalness, Ziran, presents a paradox in passages about rivers gaining power by putting themselves below, creating tension between strategic humility and the text's emphasis on sincerity. Mencius proposed a middle path between excessive effort and total abandonment of cultivation. He illustrates this through the man from Song who killed his grain sprouts by pulling them to speed their growth, a parable warning against both over-effort and neglect. Unlike Laozi's static, uncarved block, Mencius sees naturalness as the proper development of innate tendencies. Wu Wei requires training, but builds on moral inclinations that grow like sprouts into virtues. In his exchange with King Xuan of Qi, Mencius helps the king recognize his natural compassion for an ox and urges him to extend this empathy to his people. This raises a key question. If virtuous tendencies are natural, why do they require such effort to manifest? When a disciple admits preferring to sit around eating millet rather than pursue virtue, Mencius blames lack of effort rather than inability, though this explanation feels incomplete. Zhuangzi offers an alternative through fasting the mind, emptying oneself of preconceptions to align with nature. Unlike Confucian's focused on being right, his sage illuminates things by means of heaven. His exemplars, butchers, woodcarvers, ferrymen, remain in civilization while maintaining profound openness. Modern research validates Zhuangzi's insights about performance anxiety. External pressures and conscious focus often lead to choking. When monetary rewards were introduced to experienced Pac-Man players, their performance declined significantly. The paradox of Wu Wei, trying not to try, varies by personality type. Conservatives typically favor tradition and discipline, while liberals prefer autonomy and flexibility. These genetically influenced tendencies explain why no single strategy works for everyone. Different life stages may require different approaches. The disciplined carving and polishing suits early learning, while letting go becomes valuable with age. Research shows that actively monitoring or forcing enjoyment diminishes the experience. Ancient Chinese wisdom, now supported by science, recognized that intelligence is embodied. We think with our entire physical being. Understanding comes through emotionally grounded knowing how, rather than abstract knowing that. Unlike modern flow, which emphasizes challenge level, Wu Wei focuses on absorption in meaningful activity, from dishwashing to playing with children. The paradox offers its own wisdom. While spontaneity can't be forced, we can create conditions for its emergence. In our optimization-obsessed world, learning when to let go might be the most revolutionary act, allowing space for wisdom to emerge naturally.